From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
Good morning, Bucknutters. It is Thursday, October 31st, 2019. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning 5 and Change. If it's Thursday, that can mean only one thing. 24/7 Sports Director of Recruiting, Steve Wolfong, joins us. Steve, how goes it?
Daniel, this is my favorite day of the year, or one of them, Halloween. We're going to navigate Mother Nature. We're going to whoop her ass tonight. It's going to be in the 30s. There's going to be snow flurries, but the Wolfong boys are going to be out there. We're going to be trucking along. We're going to be collecting candy. One of my boys is a zombie, so he's getting into Halloween for real now. He's five. He's moved on from being a superhero, not that there's anything wrong with that. And then my 2-year-old's Chase from Paw Patrol. But we're going to get out there, and we're going to get after it today.
I think to keep the youngest happy, you better have a large swath of lollipops ready to rock, because every picture I see of him, he looks happier when he's got a little food going.
We're very lucky, Daniel. We're very lucky. But good luck to all you front rowers that have young ones that are trick-or-treating. Get the chili in the crock pot going early. Because we always give the weather report, and I'm looking out my window, and although the trees are still beautiful in my neighborhood, the weather sucks out there right now.
Yeah, and you've noticed my voice is a tad beaten down. I am a native Washingtonian, so I was up very late watching my baseball team win its first World Series since well before my dad was born. So that was really cool. Speaking of boys, got to get my boys out of bed. We made a rally and watch it with them down the stretch. So very cool. Speaking of very cool, and a guy that plays it cool, and a guy that's going to maybe break the record for most minutes spent on the BM5 talking about him, Bijan Robinson. Class of 2020 recruiting for running back has been nothing short of a soap opera. Bijan Robinson, arguably the best running back in the country, was all but signed, sealed, and delivered until he announced. And then when he announced for Texas. There was some tomfoolery and hijinks in the Robinson family. They wanted him to stay close by. Now, Texas, as people with cable know, not a great football team. Ohio State, very good. So we're now getting to the stretch where questions are going to be asked to Bijan about his status. Don't forget he plays with a future Buckeye right now in Lathan Ransom. So there's that. Long-winded. Here I go. Bijan spoke to our Blair Angulo, 24/7 Sports West Coast specialist. And he said he still talks to Ohio State. He certainly did not sound like a guy who was 100% committed to Texas. He talked about even possibly taking an LSU visit. Your thoughts on as the Bijan turns.
Well, I think that his recruitment leading up to his Texas commitment was wild in the sense that Ohio State was clearly the leader. And then as his decision day got closer, he flipped to Texas. And so when a young man flips once, I think that it's always possible that a young man could flip again. These decisions are challenging. And you have a lot of very successful alpha-type personalities in these young men's ear, and they're great communicators, and they all have great products to sell, and it can create instances where a young man isn't sure what he's going to do. I think that Ohio State obviously has a lot going for it and has all the reasons why Bijan was considering Ohio State before the season and why he loved Ohio State before the season. Now you're watching the Buckeyes play. And they're playing the way that they said they would before the season. You look at Ohio State's depth chart at the running back position, and certainly whoever signs is going to share the load with Master Teague. But what Ohio State's – and that's if J.K. leaves, which I think that we would all think that he's going to, right? Is that a safe assumption or a fair assumption? I mean, he's the best running back in the Big Ten right now in the same conference that includes Jonathan Taylor, right? We agree across the board.
That J.K. is going to leave, yeah, I don't think there's any chance he comes back.
You're sharing the ball with Master, but what they're showing this year is that there's, and what a lot of teams in college football are showing, is that there's enough to go around, and And then you obviously your opportunity to be the feature back, if not even right away, is certainly in the near future as well. So I think that Bijan loved Ohio State. Could he love Ohio State again? We'll see. You know, talking to Blair Angulo, who's the lead analyst on Bijan, and I haven't spoken to him since he wrote yesterday's article that had a lot of juice to it on 24/7 Sports, latest on five-star running back Bijan Robinson. In the past, I don't think that we were ever really ready to close the door on his recruitment in Texas and that he would ultimately use his remaining official visits. So we'll see what happens.
So Zachary Evans, Kendall Milton, and Bijan Robinson, considered by most to be the three best running backs in the class, or you could at least make that argument. Do you see Milton sticking with Georgia? I see Zach Evans is, you know, Crystal Ball's 50% Georgia. The LSU's in the mix. Now you hear Robinson's going to visit LSU. It seems there's kind of a fluid nature to these guys at this point.
So I think Kendall Milton is locked in with Georgia. If you go back to his process, he basically had his top three and visited both in the same form or fashion, saw all three in the spring, took officials to all three, giving all three an equal opportunity to present their case. I think Georgia clearly led, but he still dotted his I's and crossed all his T's before announcing. And so with all that, I think Kendall Milton sticks. It's recruiting, so I guess you always have to throw in the caveat, but it's recruiting, so people know you're not married to any of your statements. I think that Zach Evans is, yeah, I was very confident that he was going to Georgia at the end of summer, going into the fall. He had some off-field incident with his team. I don't know all the information there. I just know he hasn't played in every one of his team's games this year because of it. I think that that maybe slowed down his recruitment. I also, Alabama was clearly the team to beat for Zach Evans in the spring. So there's been a lot of twists and turns with that one. LSU seems to be a lot of buzz there. I'm certain George is still in there. He visited Alabama earlier this fall. So that just looks like your regular SEC slobber knocker on the trail.
Just kind of bizarre that LSU would still be in the mix with this many dudes this late. But
they don't have a running back. Yeah, but no, they're recruiting at a high clip right now. They got a chance to finish number one this cycle, as does Clemson and Alabama.
No one knows what Bijan's going to do. Even if we said it out loud, it takes me about an hour to produce the podcast, and I'd be worried he would change his mind in that hour. But I think we know for sure this is far from over. If he's still taking calls from LSU and Ohio State this late, this could go up until the last day. So, okay, another guy, arguably an even better prospect, committed to Ohio State, Julian Fleming. Just tell everybody that the Penn State vibes that they get from the Pennsylvania native are BS. He was just going to visit his girlfriend. Would you agree with that?
I have yet to hear otherwise. I have not heard anything about Julian Fleming flipping to Penn State, and I feel like his actions have been strong towards Ohio State as well. I don't see any panic on the front row about Julian Fleming taking Ohio State out of his – I mean, he's got another the Ohio State University is his Twitter bio. So, I guess those are always the tells and the signs. So if you're doing something behind the scenes, don't change your Twitter bio. He's still recruiting for Ohio State on social media as well. He's retweeting Ohio State stuff. His actions seem to be good for the buck. I don't think he's going to flip to Penn State.
Neither do I. I talked to someone who actually would know, and they feel great about it. I was just doing that to kind of assuage whatever silly fears anybody might have. And the fact is, that dude is good enough that, you know, Penn State should be calling him every single day.
But even like on another, like, you know, Indiana's keeping in touch with all the guys that are committed to other Big Ten programs in their state. Doesn't mean those guys are going to flip or even a threat to flip. So that happens everywhere. We'll see what happens.
On the front row, I asked you guys to submit some questions for Steve. It was clear Bijan Robinson was the topic of the day. That was a majority of the questions. I distilled it down to some others, and we're going to hit those right after a quick commercial break.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
We are back. Here is a question. Generally speaking, the quality of Midwest recruits, Big Ten recruits in the class of 2020 versus the class of 2021, which is better?
For the Midwest guys? Oh, man.
For your guys that you think will land in the Big Ten?
I think, like, the way for me to kind of tackle this in a way that will make sense is I think that Ohio State and Penn State are recruiting guys that can play with anybody athletically. I think that Ohio State, they get more guys that walk into college ready to play right away. They may not need to, but most of the guys Ohio State signs could make an impact as a true freshman if asked. I think that Penn State, a lot of their guys could, but some of them are developmental guys. Their program's a mix of ready-made with some developmental guys, more so than Ohio State, but I think that they have proven that they develop their guys well as well. So I think that those are two programs that are legit. They got Jims and Joes and draft picks. And you know, Ohio State's clearly the most talented team in the Big Ten. But everyone on this show knows that listens to this show knows that I've always liked the way Penn State's built their roster and recruited. I think Michigan's pretty good, too. I think that, you know, we'll see how things continue to develop with first-year offensive coordinator Josh Gattis. But, you know, Michigan had a top-10 recruiting class last year. They're in the top-10 right now this year. So I just think that for Michigan, they need to find a way to consistently win big ball games. It hasn't been because they aren't good enough to be on the field. I mean, they've had maybe some suspect Michigan teams still take Ohio State into the fourth quarter, and you need a Dwayne Haskins play off the bench to win you one. So they got players for them. It's more just rising to the occasion. After that, I think this Ohio State Wisconsin game was a clear example of the difference between the two programs. Yes, Wisconsin has good coaches. Yes, they recruit some NFL guys. And they develop and scheme well, but at the end of the day, man, they just couldn't keep up for four quarters with an Ohio State team that has NFL guys in every room. And so Wisconsin and Iowa, Minnesota, those are like the teams in the next group that once in a while could beat a Michigan or a Ohio State or a Penn State, but just aren't consistently going to.
Yeah, what hurts them now is Michigan State is really down. Michigan State was a playoff team a few years ago and was on a run of producing pros. They had just recruited better than they are doing now, and that program has dropped off considerably.
They had so many NFL guys in the secondary in addition to the other, you know, in their front seven and on their offensive line. But when you're playing against Ohio State, and you got to have guys that can cover. Like Wisconsin, their DBs just aren't, at least from my vantage point, maybe I'm wrong, they're just not athletic enough. Those Michigan State teams, they're running out first-round picks out there at corner. And people can say, oh, they took advantage of the Big Ten when Michigan was down and yada, yada. Maybe there's some truth to that in the sense of it helped them recruit some guys. But, I mean, Michigan State wasn't going 12-0 with a bunch of just good college players. And they had NFL dudes out there on their team. And that's why they won over 11 games, like 4 out of 5 years or something. I think that they had a lot of talent, and they're not as talented as they were, certainly not in the secondary. Even Monte Nicholson was a game wrecker at Michigan State. You know, like that guy was a physical just stud. He's in the NFL now. I mean, so they had a lot of NFL guys, and they got hot for a while, and I don't think they have the same amount of NFL guys right now.
Trey Waynes was a lightly recruited corner speed guy from Wisconsin. Darquez Dennard was from a one-stoplight town in Georgia. They developed those guys.
Ken Manny's one of the best strength coaches in the country. But those guys still had it in them. Michigan State did a great job of evaluating, finding them, and getting it out of them. But now the guys that they're getting, they're probably getting peak performance from, but their upside isn't the same as those guys.
Justin Lane and Jerome Baker both played at Benedictine. Lane was a year behind Jerome. And Jerome Baker was a much more highly publicized recruit than Lane. Lane went to Michigan State to play receiver, and he ended up getting drafted at defensive back before Jerome Baker got drafted. So they were able to develop the guys, is what I'm saying. And yes, Denard and Waynes had it in them, but no, go look at their offer list. No one else saw pro in there besides those guys. So when something has happened to the Michigan State staff, they were able to take guys like that, or maybe it was in the selection process. But, yeah, I just don't – and they were then able – I mean, look what they did. That's the team, if you really go back and look, that gave Ohio State the most trouble.
Your chances of recruit – like, so it's playing with fire. Like, people are like, the recruiting rankings don't matter. They do. I think that – I mean, obviously we're not perfect with the recruiting rankings, but your margin of error is smaller if you're landing more of the touted guys that are heavily recruited. And so Michigan State, I just – we're talking out loud about this. I've done no research. I think that they – that window of time, they hit on so many guys. And the guys that they're hitting on now, I'm not saying that they're not – they're still a solid football team. But they're just – those guys aren't the same – they're still recruiting from the same waters – but the fish they're pulling out aren't as juicy on the back end right now, is I guess my point.
Yeah, but that tends to be the scouting eye of someone in recruiting, and I either have to look at Michigan State, and I'll bet that guy's not there anymore, whoever it is. All right, let's finish with the Ohio State side of this. Back to a question that was asked, and a guy who, if Bijan Robinson set the record for his name being mentioned in the class of 2021, here's a name we're going to hear a lot from. North Carolina running back Will Shipley. Just think Christian McCaffrey. I'm sorry to fall into that, but it's just too easy. He visited here last weekend. We are hearing Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State are in the mix. Something Clemson leads. Most think Notre Dame leads. Do you think Ohio State made up any ground in the Shipley recruitment over the weekend?
I think Ohio State will be a finalist. I don't really know who leads for Will Shipley right now. I've talked to him after every visit that he's been on this fall. He's been to Virginia, he's been to Clemson, he's been to Notre Dame, and he's been to Ohio State. I take that back. I haven't talked to him after his NC State or North Carolina visits. There are people that have said that proximity may matter to him. I don't get that sense. I think he's going to play on a big stage. I think he's going to play at a big stage school or a school that looks promising in that regard. So maybe I'm wrong there, but I think that Ohio State's in the middle of it. I think Clemson is, too. Certainly Notre Dame obviously is. Maybe if North Carolina keeps doing their thing. I think Ohio State's definitely in it, and he had a great time, and he'll be back. And this wasn't a one-time visit, great time. Buckeyes are out. I think that he stayed overnight, got some great time with Kevin Wilson, obviously got some great time with Tony Alford, got to meet with Coach Ryan Day. And so he had a terrific experience, and he'll be back, and Ohio State will be one of the schools mentioned on the short list.
Hope you enjoyed that show, people. Steve and I got a little tangential, as we are wont to do. We appreciate Steve stopping by. Have a good one, Bucknutters.
Take care, y'all. See you on the front row.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.